720 WGN. Good evening. I'm John Landecker. It's 8 minutes after 9. Thanks for joining us. And we're talking the Sox in general, but also particularly Dick Allen, John Owen, and Dr. David Fletcher are with us on the phone, and they are the co-authors of the book that will be coming out sometime soon called Chili Dog MVP, Dick Allen, the 1972 White Sox, and a transforming Chicago. Gentlemen, welcome to the program, as they say.
Thanks, John.
You're very, very
Thanks,
glad you're here. I'm going to have to address you, of course, individually, so we just don't walk all over each other. Doctor, I know that I've read some of your backstory here, which is pretty incredible. Could you fill us in first about where you started out and how you got to be where you are and how you became Dick Allen?
I grew up in the western suburbs, went to high school in Glenbard West and went to medical school at Rush. But I was 17, 18 years old when Dick Allen came on the scene and energized the fan base. And so, like a lot of adolescents, I was just mesmerized by him. I had his iconic Sports Illustrated cover on my bedroom wall. And I just really thought that he was something sensational. He was like Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan in Chicago. So that's the backstory.
John, what's your backstory in connection with this book?
First of all, I grew up on the South Side and went to school probably three blocks from Sox Park, and my first memories, baseball memories, are of Dick Allen and the red pinstripes that the Sox wore in 1972, and how exciting he was as a player. My memories of Dick go back to when I was 7, 8 years old. But I worked at the Tribune for a while and covered a lot of different things and met up with Dr. Fletcher when I was producing a documentary on Chicago baseball for WGN TV and CL TV back in 2004, and we hit it off and we had something in common, a shared love of both baseball teams, but specifically those 70s White Sox teams.
You know, I know that Rick Kempfer is your publisher, and he is a diehard Cubs fan. And I find it a little surprising that he would allow a book that is lauds the White Sox and Dick Allen in specifics. That I'm making a joke, but he must have been very excited about seeing your manuscript and what you had to say about 1972, the White Sox, and transforming Chicago. And pardon my ignorance, but what has the chili dog got to do with it? Anybody?
Well, the chili dog is a reference to a game on June 4th, 1972. So Dick was traded here from Los Angeles. He spent most of his time in Philadelphia, but he was traded here in 1972 and immediately made a difference. He was a five-tool player, great player. Played every game that year up until the doubleheader on June 4th that they were playing against the hated Yankees. He played the first game of that doubleheader, and he was outstanding. And Chuck Tanner, his manager, decided to give him a rest in the second game. So Dick was in the clubhouse eating a chili dog that was prepared for him by one of the clubhouse attendants. Not expecting to play in the second game of this doubleheader. And his manager, Chuck Tanner, surprised him by calling him up to pinch hit in the bottom of the ninth against the great Sparky Lyle, the great reliever for the Yankees. He ran out of the dugout with chili dog juice on his jersey and proceeded to hit the second or third pitch that Sparky Lyle delivered into the left field stand. A three-run home run that won the game for the White Sox. Sent a crowd of over 50,000 fans home, exuberant and going crazy. And it was sort of like the highlight of the season, sort of a symbolic game that showed how Dick Allen really took the city by storm.
It's amazing that a rather insignificant item of eating a chili dog in the locker room would become part of an urban legend, so to speak. But that's what's happened, right, John?
It definitely became part of his urban legend. It just shows you how, you know, he was the type of player who didn't necessarily take batting practice. He would show up to games just a few minutes before game time, but it shows you, how talented he was, that he, how naturally talented he was, that he was able to come out cold and hit a home run to win the game for his team.
We're talking to John Owens and Dr. David Flesher. Going to have a book coming out called Chili Dog MVP, Dick Allen, the 1972 White Sox and a Transforming Chicago. Doctor, what is the sort of the story arc of this book? Where do we start and where do we go?
Well, the story arc is it's not just a baseball book. It's a book about Chicago in the late 60s and in the early 70s. And we really feature the transformation of the city after the end of the 1960s and after the Fred Hampton murder and the waning power of Mayor Daley and how the politics in Chicago changed and how that affected the institutions. And the arc of the story is that the South Side had lost its big institution, the Stockyards, and were about to lose their other big institution, the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox were close to leaving the city, a very famous civic institution. Their attendance was terrible in 1969 and 1970. They played games in Milwaukee in 68 and 69, and they're about to leave town. And we were very fortunate that the brother of the Allens, John, bought the team from his brother. He had actually sold it to Bud Selig in Milwaukee in September of 1969. And John did not want to see an American League charter team leave Chicago, a Chicago institution. And he kept the team. He wanted to keep them at Comiskey Park. He didn't want public financing. And he held on, and he made some brilliant hires, getting on Chuck Tanner and Roland Heeman to come to town. And they made the big trade in December of 71 to get Dick Allen. And so the team went. Gained 70 wins from 1970 to 1972, and they were the second best team in the American League in 1972 and almost won the American League West. But Bill Melton had hurt us back in the offseason, and he didn't have the home run king crown like he had in 1971.
Does Bill Veeck factor into any of this?
He definitely factors into it because he owned the team for two periods, as most fans remember, from 1959 to 1961 and again from 76 to 80. So his ownership tenure sort of sandwiched the tenure of Arthur and John Allen, who Doc just referred to. In fact, the Allens were brought in by Bill Veeck to the White Sox organization. They started as minority investors under Bill Veeck. So Bill Veeck sold them the team, and then John Allen sold the team back to Bill Veeck in late 1975. So he definitely factors in to the story and, obviously the overall history of the White Sox, which is touched on in this book.
Yeah, talking to you jogged a memory of mine, and that's why I asked. At around that time, I filled in for, I was working at a different radio station, and I filled in doing the morning show. And the way this memory is playing out in my head is that at the same time, early in the morning, like next door to the station, which was at Michigan and Wacker, I forget exactly what the place was, the Little Corporal or something like that, that was on Wacker, that supposedly there was negotiations going on with Veeck and somebody at that very time. And I got him on the air, and I think the question was, are the White Sox leaving Chicago? Obviously they didn't. And you tell that story. What do you think, Doctor, the other influences and changes that occurred during Chicago at that time that are not necessarily baseball related?
Well, we talk about the story of obviously when Mayor Daley's delegation to the Democratic convention in 1972 didn't get seated, and we talk about the rise of the Progressive Party with Jesse Jackson in Chicago, and just the whole changes as far as Daley's sway over the black vote. That's
right.
One aspect. But we also have this, I think, some really pertinent stories, which, you know, when I was in high school and starting college then, was the epic battle over the crosstown freeway. That was a big project that the governor of Illinois, Richard Ogilvie, who got voted out of office by Dan Walker, and also Mayor Daley, they really championed this. And that was a big, big issue that year, and it had a lot of carryover for the story. Obviously, we also had the national election with Richard Nixon versus Senator McGovern. So we tell those stories, and we also have a lot of stuff that's kind of a prelude to in the modern times, as far as some construction riots that were sort of a prelude to the January 6th insurrection. We just have a lot of tie-ins with kind of the Black Lives Matter aspect, and that's what makes the book so special to do.
This book, where is in the publishing stage, where is the book right now? I mean,
well, the manuscript is done, and manuscripts are waiting for it to come, you know, for the publisher to put it out. So it's done. I mean, it's completed. So it's just at that process. So it should be out very soon.
Okay. Very soon? You want me to call up Rick and kick him in the butt and say, let's get going?
Yes. Why don't you do that?